tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in no wrong. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved one, it is our home so lonely and dreary. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year? Father alone will know all about it. Father alone understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death says, our loving master. A few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will lift him and nothing. As we sweep through the beautiful gate, Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand. Coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion, and we'll understand it all by and by. Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
For the prayer, we'll sing 614, 614. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And he will
Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, Father of all mankind, we thank you that we're able to gather this morning to sing praises to your name, to lift your name high above all else, for you are our Lord, our God, our Savior. Lord, we thank you for being able to be able to sing these praises. And Lord, we also thank you that we're able to be able to worship together as a family, to be able to encourage each other as a family, and support each other as a family that we are. Father, we thank you for the wonderful return of Charles Hopkins Jr. We thank you that he is as well as he is, and he is able to be with us this morning. Father, we are others that are in need of our prayers, in need of your special blessings upon them, that they can be with us also, if it be your will, Father, to do so. Lord, we also thank you so much for your blessed Son who came to this earth and died for us. Father, we know that we are not worthy of such love, but you loved us so much that he died for us. He bled on that cross, and that redeeming blood was able to save us from the hell that we were going to be able to experience if it were not for him. Father, we ask that you watch over the lesson this morning as Brother Norman brings it to us. We ask that his words are true and powerful, and it pricks our heart to be able to act upon the message that we hear. Father, open our hearts, open our minds, so that we may be able to be bold enough to go out and tell others of your Son's saving grace. We know that we have the truth, Father, and they need to know it. Father, give us the courage to go out and tell the world of that wonderful saving grace. Watch over the elders of this congregation. Give them the understanding and the courage to know that they need to do what they need to do, and that we may follow their direction as they are our shepherds. Father, watch over the leaders of this nation. We ask that you give them the wisdom to be able to make the good decision following your guidance. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Song before the Lord says, and we'll sing number 330.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble globe? Why did he choose the lowly birth? He loved his soul. He loved his soul. He loved his soul. He gave his precious life for me, for me. He loved me so. Why did he drink a bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross he lifted up? Because he loved.
In John chapter 15, verses 13, the Bible reads that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This greater love the Bible speaks of is the sacrificial death of Christ Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Before us, we have two emblems that bring to our memories: his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We have the bread that represents his body, and the cup of salvation that was shed for many for the remission of sin. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. O kind and merciful Father, we humble ourselves in the name of Jesus, thanking you, Father, for having mercy on our soul, sending your Son to the cross to die one of the most excruciating deaths, death by crucifixion. And for this, Father, we're so grateful and so thankful. For it is in Jesus' name we give you all praise, all honor, and glory. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the food of the pot. Our most kind, gracious, and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for giving us yet another day, Heavenly Father. Another day to come together on this first day of the week, Heavenly Father. To be able to fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father. Another day to show our gratitude, Heavenly Father, to thy Son, Jesus, Heavenly Father. To be thankful unto him, Heavenly Father, for being willing to give his life on that cruel cross, Heavenly Father. To know that we did not have the power to save ourselves, Heavenly Father, for his willingness to endure that cruel punishment, for he loved this world so much. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we prepare ourselves to take of this fruit of the vine that represents thy Son's precious blood, that we'll do so in a manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
anyone was overlooked on serving the Lord's Supper, please raise your hand and you will be served. We have another commandment. The Bible encourages us to lay by in store and be prepared to give back on the first day of each and every week the first fruits of our labor unto God in support of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Let us give thanks. We're grateful and thankful, Father, for all of the ways and means that you provide for each and every human being, all of the talents, abilities that you bestow upon each and every one of us. We are so grateful and we are so thankful that we have this privilege to give back unto you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the lesson, we'll sing number 33. Number 33. Instead of we sing this one. Number 33. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus and
Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine of glory. Scripture reading for this morning's sermon is taken from the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. And I'll be reading from the King James translation. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And now our brother Skippy Norman, in his sermon this morning, is titled Being a Good Influence for God.
I'd like to say good morning. God has afforded us another opportunity to be able to assemble ourselves together this morning to study a portion of His true and divine Word. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service this morning. And for those who have tuned in on our conference call as well, we welcome you to our services. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings. Thank you for this opportunity you once again given us to come together to worship and praise thy holy name. Thank you, Lord, for those who have called in. Fathers, we are about to go into your word that, Lord, we clear our minds, that we focus upon your word and the things that it has to say to us. And, Lord, at the conclusion of this message, that we look upon ourselves. We are not doing and living in accordance to your will. Lord, just give us that time to make that correction before it's too late. Give me your word, the things that I say. You get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Being a good influence for God. I want to encourage each and every one of you to be a good influence for God, to not only to yourself, but to the congregation and to the community. When you look at this influence, what is influence? Influence is the ability of a person to compel others to think, feel, or behave in a specific manner. Let me say that again. It's the ability of a person to compel others to think, feel, or behave in a specific manner. In every group of friends, there are influencers. Such persons have sway over others in that group. If the influences in your life are godly, then their influence helps you walk more closely with Jesus in daily living. But if the influences in your life are ungodly, then they are used to pull you down a path that is away from Jesus Christ, His kingdom, and His purpose. Are y'all with me? You may not have thought of yourself as a great influencer for God, but let me tell you, you are. You are an influencer. You may not think that you are, but God thinks that you are. And so it's important, church, that we understand that our job is to build up and not tear down, to encourage and draw others closer to Almighty God. Because what God has done is that God has placed you and I at the center of a circle of influences. What do you mean? Think about your friends. Think about your neighbor. Think about your family. Think about your work. Think about your church. How is your influence in these areas? Are they good or are they bad? Because if your influence is used for the bad, then it will bring all those around you to your low level and maybe even lower. But if it's harnessed for the good and the godly, then it will lift others up. Don't we want to be a good influence for God? Amen. It don't seem like y'all want to be a good influence. Do we want to be a good influence for God? And so if we're going to be a good influence, then we got to understand that we need to be about lifting one another up. So it's very important that we have a positive influence to each other and a positive influence to those whom God sends our way. Well, if we're not, then we have a heavy price to pay. If we are to have a good influence for God, if we have a good influence for the church, if we have a good influence for the community, if you're going to have a good influence, I got to tell you something. You can't hang around with bad influences if you're going to have an influence for God. One day, a farmer, he grabbed his shotgun to shoot at flocks of crows. And unfortunately, he didn't see his sociable parrot had joined the crows. And so after firing a few shots, he walked over to the fallen bird and was surprised to find his parrot badly ruffled with broken wing. And so when the farmer's children saw the injured bird, they asked, "What happened?" And the farmer simply replied, "Bad company." Y'all will catch that. Bad company. The people that you spend your time with that damage, deface, deform, degrade, demean, demoralize, disfigure, harm, hurt, impair, infect, ravage, reduce, ruin, violate, and pull you down, church, a bad company. And so regardless of our age, regardless of our spiritual strength, over time, unwise influence will negatively affect our walk with the Lord. Satan is determined. He is determined to pull us into sin. He is determined to wreck our lives. And what do we do? He often uses wrong influences to accomplish his goal. So God wants us to steer clear of friends that are constantly bringing us down. So let's look at 1 Corinthians. How many times have we quoted 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33? Yes, we quote this scripture, but listen. Have we ever stopped to really look at this verse? What was happening that caused these words to be said? And we're going to look at that this morning. So I'm going to break down 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. First of all, what we have, let's look at the text. He says, be not deceived. Y'all see that? That's the first word. When you look at the word deceived, it was a word that means to go astray. The idea is we are to keep our thoughts aligned with truth. We got to keep our thoughts aligned with the Word of God. Good and right, so that we don't go astray in deceptive thinking. See, a person has to make his or her choice to keep their mind from slipping into deceptive thinking, which can certainly come through one's companion. Running with the wrong crowd can happen when a person begins to be convinced that bad companions are actually friends of value. This happens because of misplaced values. In other words, if a person begins to want unhealthy things or an unhealthy lifestyle in his or her life, those desires, if not rejected and rebuked, will cause a person to become open to thinking lies and doing the wrong things, thinking it's okay. It's all right to do those things. But 1 Corinthians 15, 33 says what? Be not deceived. Y'all see that? But then he goes on and he adds another word. He says, be not deceived, what? Evil. Evil is a word that means worthless. It's a word that means morally corrupt. Such a person is bad at the core. Their hearts are not good toward God. They may be good people in many ways, but their core convictions are not aligned with God and his word. So if you follow these kinds of persons, they will lead you away from closely walking with Jesus. We said earlier, don't you want to walk with Jesus? Don't you want to be close to Jesus? And so you got to understand this. They have nothing of good works to offer by their words, by their actions, and by their lifestyles. And they are in essence evil in God's sight. So that is sometimes difficult. And I know that, y'all, this is a hard thing, but when you look at this text, this is what this text is dealing with. He's not sugarcoating anything. He's telling them exactly like it is. And so it's difficult to accept concerning persons with whom one has developed a close friendship. And such persons are not always found in the gutters of society. But sometimes they are found in the Lord's church. Not everyone who attends church makes a spiritual healthy friend. Y'all listen, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know what a person is like in words, in action, and in lifestyle. Am I right? Each person's word, each person's action, each person's lifestyle displays the heart and direction that person is traveling in life. God says, I'm not saying, God says, don't be deceived so to buy into the lie that persons whose words and actions and lifestyles, they are ungodly, are somehow good for you. So a person may have something to offer that you want. But the damage that comes with being close to that person outweighs any good you might gain. What do you mean? This is exactly how evil works into the way into our lives. What do you mean? We see something we want. And even a good thing. But the way to get that is I gotta do something evil to get it. It looks good. I would love to have it. But am I willing to get it for the sake of getting it that is going to be evil, that is going to be costly, that is going to be destructive? So you have to think about that. The problem with bad friends is they are evil companions as God sees it. God said, don't be deceived. And he sees best. He sees more accurately than you and I do. In 1 Corinthians, let's go back to the text. 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, be not deceived, evil. But then he adds something else. He adds a phrase to it. Y'all see that phrase? Evil communication corrupts good manners. He uses this phrase. Now I'm going to explain this. When you look at the word communication means interaction with a companion on a deep level. It's the kind of interaction with a friend that you become close enough to so as to be drawn into participation and going along with the things that person is doing. Corrupt means to wither, to waste away. The word good manners means right moral practices. And so, watch this. When you look at this phrase, evil communication corrupts good manners, it's not there just to be in there. This was a part of a popular poem in Apostle Paul's day. They had become a proverb of that day. When you look at the context, and you have to go back, and you got to read in 1 Corinthians 15, God used those words to warn against listening to the point of being influenced by those who denied the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Brother Bob talked about that. There are those who deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They will say there is no resurrection. But in 1 Corinthians, he talks about that in verse 1 through verse number 4. Now watch this. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Now watch what he said. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture, and even had witnesses." In verse number 5, "And they, he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen about 500 brothers." But yet, they were denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what happened is, it's easy to see why a person should not listen to propaganda of pagans who reject Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. And so the reason that this statement became a proverb is because it struck a nerve with people as relating to reality. They was upset that this was a reality, that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And so you got to understand. You understand? And so we see this over and over again in our lives, in the world. And so what each person should do is actively evaluate the influences of his or her friends. If a friend is influencing you toward Jesus Christ, now y'all hear me? Thus, his high standard of living, then go deeper with that person in sharing life together. Why? Because they're trying to get to the same place you're trying to get to. They're trying to make heaven their home. But if you have a friend that is influencing you away from God and his high purposes, then you need to be careful how you spend your time with him and her. See, sometimes people just do wrong because that's what they want to do. Y'all agree with that? They want to do wrong, so guess what? I'm going to do it. And so in this case, in this verse, it refers to a person being drawn into doing things that moves a person away from walking closely with Jesus Christ and his purposes. A person of evil communication is one who works against you, trying to seek God first. They don't want you to seek God first. And so they do everything in their power to get you from being close to God. So what are we to do? I'm glad y'all asked me that question. I was wondering whether y'all was listening to me. What are we to do? We are to evaluate our close friendships to see if they are good for us or bad for us in keeping with God and His purposes. And so don't be deceived, church, because a person cannot have a close walk with Jesus while joining in ungodliness with his or her friend. You can't do it. So that means that you find yourself then doing the same corrupt thing that a person does. You find yourself gossiping and even accepting a lie because that person believes that way. But we don't want to go that way, right? We want to be what? Good influences for God. So if you're going to be good influences of a God, we got to see some things that we got to shun away from. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Y'all looking like y'all mad out there. Are y'all with me? And so this isn't a passive friendship where people just know one thing or know one another in passing. What this is about, church, is sharing life together. To a point of thinking alike, doing the same thing. And so it's getting together and doing the same thing because of the influence of others. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. God says, don't be deceived. Having close friendship with the wrong kind of persons destroys a person morally. The whole purpose, church, simply of this verse, is this. That having the wrong kind of friends is destructive. It will destroy you. But what every believer needs today is friends, influences, who provoke one another to healthy, wholesome, godly living, who build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. We need friends that will encourage us and help us grow spiritually, because our ultimate objective is to make heaven our home. And so we've got to have friends that will hold us accountable to God's standard and help us when we're slipping. Help us when we're doing the wrong thing. Help us when we're saying the wrong thing. That's a true friend. Somebody trying to help you get and make heaven your home. To maintain a life that God can, God will bless. We need each other. We need one another to continue in living lives that reflect the character, that reflect the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me close. Ask yourself this question. Do the friends I have chosen help me walk more closely with Jesus, or do they hinder a closer walk with Jesus? See, we got to get personal. We got to look within ourselves. We got to look with all the friends that we have. And we have to ask ourselves this question, church, because it's true. It is your choice. It's your choice who you run with. It's your choice what you do. That's your choice. If you want to run with the wrong crowd, that's your choice. But listen to me. The consequences of your choices are not yours to decide. God decides the consequences of all of our choices. So if you choose to do wrong, if you choose to hang around with bad folks, guess what? You got to deal with the consequences of your decision. You can't go around and say, you made me do it. No, that's your choice. But understand, you can't decide the consequences. God does that. And so you can either choose to take what God says in this message through His Word today. You can adjust your life to it, but guess what? You can even reject it. That's you. That's between you and God. You can accept it or you can reject it. But you do not get to choose the consequences of your choices. And neither do I. It's vitally important, church, that you be careful about who you allow into your life. You must be careful about who you let influence you as a friend. Parents, listen to me. You got to be watchful about your children's friends. Y'all hear me? You got to be watchful about your children's friends. Because the best chance you have in your children turning out right is making sure they have the right type of friends. It only takes one wrong friend to influence your child in the wrong way. That's all it takes. It takes one that's doing wrong to get in their ear and listen to them and then guide them to do what you are doing. Watch closely the friends of your children, because one wrong friend will pull them away from God and what is right. We all one day, we got to give an account to Almighty God. And so the question comes as I close, and is God in your friendships? Now, you got everybody, you got all these friends, but is God in your friendships? He want to be. He wants you to have the right kind of friend. He wants you to be involved. And He want to be involved in your relationship. Why? Because one day you got to stand before Him. You got to get an account whether it's good or whether it's bad. Jesus want to be your friend because He says in Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend that stick closer than a brother. If I don't have any friends in this world, thank God I got a friend in Jesus. He's all that I need. And so choose your friends wisely, but allow Jesus to be your best friend. And so the question comes today. Do you have a good influence? Do you have a good influence for God? With your neighbors? With your friends, with your family. That's what God wants. God wants you to let your light so shine that others see your good works but glorify Him which is in heaven. Look at your life this morning. examine your life this morning. Don't look at nobody else. Look at yourself. And see what type of influence are you. Are you a good influence for God? If not, now is the time to get it right. You've heard the word, believe it to be true, repent of your sin, confess Christ with that time. Whatever the case may be, come right now and stand and sing the song.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace and His time? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? The Son of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul? Cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robe be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bride, highly washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Covered washed in the blood of the Lamb. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?